Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody, and welcome to the Star Wars Book Club podcast, your weekly show for all things Star Wars, comics, novels, and movies. I am your host, Blake Schultz. With me, as always, is Harley Salbaca.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Tyler Berry.
Can't wait to talk about some Alvin and the Chipmunks road chip.
I couldn't make up my mind between that or Sisters. I was in line at the AMC for days.
Wow.
Days and days. I just ended up swapping between the theaters. Every 10 minutes, different movie.
That seems fine.
It's the most logical.
I was about to say, I doubt you missed anything. So, right. Yeah.
No, yeah. Whatever. Just Alvin. Boys on the hood. But anyways, guys.
What?
That was the tagline.
That was
for
the tagline.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah. Boys on the hood.
That's horrifying.
Because they're boys and they're on the hood of the car.
You know.
Are they still, they're still making these?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Let's not talk about
dive
this.
Before we get into the big meat of The Force Awakens.
I just say big meat.
The big meat. The meaty.
Well,
meaty.
I'm awakened.
Ooh.
I just had to say it. Sorry.
Welp. Roaring start for our.
No kidding.
I'm sorry. Like, Blake was in my head, and he definitely said that line in my head.
It's close to the holidays in the new year. We're trailing off a bit. It's like the last day of school.
Oh my
Everyone's
God.
Goofing off. Anyways, the Vader annual came out, so we'll talk about that first really quick. What did you guys think?
It was very different than any Vader story that we've heard so far.
Yeah.
It was very different. I liked it still. It was not what I was expecting at all. But
right.
I still liked it. It was really interesting because in it you see Vader go into basically an entirely different culture.
Yeah, well, that was the first thing I really liked about it was that we saw this, like, bizarre monarchy. Like, it almost felt like Lord of the Rings, how he was just like, my first blood will be the king when I am gone, and my second blood will be the warlord, and then my third blood, oh, you'll serve me somehow.
You'll basically be a trap.
Which when he said it before I flipped the page, I was like, oh God, what is he going to do to this poor, poor girl?
Because she's just a pawn in his game.
Right.
He's and like, sweet, third kid, pawn.
Well, I thought it was really interesting, too, because you got so much of their culture. Like, they had that bizarre dance scene.
Yeah.
Which was great when Vader was, they were like, you must dance. No. Dance with us, Vader. Fine. And then he just whips the guy with the Force.
Yeah, but it was way more forceful. It was like, anyone who comes here must dance. I'm like, dude, what is your problem? Calm down.
Right. You have to be part of our culture or else.
Right. It was like disrespectful to not dance. And but I don't know that Darth Vader can dance all that well.
Yeah, he probably can't dance all that well. I mean, he's mostly machine.
Right.
He's more machine than man now.
A dance machine. And then just club music
he's
starts
a dance
going.
Machine.
All of his lightsabers and he just twirls them around.
Oh my God. But like, also, I'm sorry. Do they not know who he is? Who would try to force Vader to do anything?
Well, that was the thing that was really interesting about it, was it was like a company that was serving the Empire, but was still like, no, I kind of liked that they stood by it and were like, we have our customs, and just because you're here doing your thing, we're going to do this.
All they did was provide ore.
Right. You know, to
for the Empire.
Build a death machine. I'm assuming that's what it was for when he was
the
like,
Empire.
Well, yeah, because it takes place after the destruction of the Death Star, so presumably he's there to collect on what, like, the ore that they're owed so that they can build the next one.
Yeah, because when she's like, what do you need it for? He's like, and he's like, building, and she's like, building? And he's like, the Empire's always building.
I liked that moment. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting story, and we definitely got a lot It was kind of the same thing the Star Wars annual did, where we saw a side of the universe that we usually don't get to see.
Yeah.
Which I always appreciate, because they're talking about how it's this giant, huge universe, and when, you know, you don't show that, it starts to just feel like this family is
the whole universe.
Right.
The whole universe is just the Skywalker clan.
These three people. I also really liked Vader. This is the second time we've seen him have, like, an odd connection to a girl, the same way that he was kind of connected to Aphra, like, before he really revealed his whole plan, and they were in, like, the sewers together, and he was like, your father must be proud. Not really, and he's like, he should be.
Yeah.
You're trying really hard to kill me.
Yeah, and I think that stems from the fact that at this point, he knows he has a child. And I'm sure that changes his perspective on things, because he sees a father and his child, and the father's treating his child like a shitty pawn. And he doesn't want that for Luke. He wants to find Luke to bring him with him to rule together. Like, he doesn't want Luke to be a pawn. He just wants to be on the dark side with him.
Right. Well, his plan, I mean, Vader and Anakin, and I've been thinking a lot about Anakin the last few days for some weird reason, but, like, his plan was never join the dark side and slaughter the Jedi. His plan was he saw a system that wasn't working anymore, that the Jedi weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. We see that in Revenge of the Sith when he's like, it's not the Jedi way. And Mace Windu is like, no, we have to kill him.
Yeah.
That's really the moment when he's like, oh, this is all the same thing.
Yeah, where he's like, no matter what, everyone just does what they want.
Right. And then even in Empire, when he takes Luke, and even when he's talking to Padme, he says it where he's like, we can destroy the Emperor and do it. Like, his whole plan is always, I'm going to rebuild it the way I think it should be.
Yeah. And save the person I love.
Which, yes, and save his family. Which even goes back to him as a child, when he was like, the Jedi are the best people ever. Like, as a kid, that's what he believed. So it makes sense that he would kind of grow up to do what he thinks a Jedi is.
Do you think he has a soft spot just for women? Because it reminds him of his mother and of Padme? Because those are really the only two women he had the most interactions with, and he lost both of them, and he was very connected to both of them. So maybe he just automatically kind of has a slightly softer spot for women?
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Because, I mean, he treats every dude he meets like garbage because they're beneath him, but it does seem like he has somewhat of a connection to these strong women that he's meeting, and just seem to have like more respect for them because he doesn't automatically murder them.
Right. Even Leia in A New Hope, he's like, leave her to me, I'll just talk to her.
Yes.
And then when he sees when we see him with the other rebel, he has him by the throat and is like, tell me everything or I'll end you. Which is, yeah, that's actually, I've never thought about that before, that maybe Vader just has got a thing for the ladies.
Well, for me, this issue is just continues to highlight how awesome VT and Triple Zero
oh
are.
Oh my gosh.
I really like this overall issue, just because it was in a different kind of setting, and at first it also kind of just felt like Darth Vader was like collecting for a book, like a bookie.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you will pay what you are owed, or what, something like that. And I'm just like, it feels like he's just like how Rocky is at the beginning of the first Rocky movie, where he's just an enforcer for a bookie, basically.
Right.
But the highlight for me was BT and Triple Zero again.
Oh my gosh.
Kieran Gillen always seems to write those characters just so well.
Well, I love, yes, no, I think that was the same highlight for me, because I just love, it was also really interesting seeing them without Aphra, and I kind of wish we had seen that conversation where he's just like, the droids.
I love the part with the snooty, like, douchey droid with the big headdress, the fancy one,
that's like,
no, I'm not going to give you that information. Like, that's how he's talked in my head. And then when he's like, Beatty's like, but you don't kill droids.
Yeah, you don't torture droids.
And then he just kills him, and he was like, no, oh. I turned off his pain sensors before I murdered him.
Which also proves the thing we were talking about earlier, where all the droids feel, which really makes how they slaughter them in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith
much more
terrifying.
Well, maybe those...
there's that one battle droid that like begs Obi-Wan not to kill him. And he's like, no, please, I've built a family. I feel all of this.
Yeah.
That is really funny.
Oh my gosh. But do we think all droids feel?
Maybe. Even I mean, the, R2 even screams the, whenever he gets shot. Yeah, like, he doesn't just beep, he like howls. <He's>, like, even when he puts his little power receptor into the wrong hole, into the power socket in Cloud City, he like spazzes out. Why would they program them to feel?
I don't know. That seems kind of cruel, actually, when you really think about it.
Like, hey, this thing that we're programming to basically die, let's make it feel everything.
Well, but do we think that they do it with the, like, the...
Oh, and the one that's getting tortured in Jabba's palace that's
what about the ones... Oh, gosh. The ones that they made into, like, the comedy relief in Clone Wars.
The pit droids?
Yeah. I don't think they feel.
They still bop each other a lot, though.
Yeah, probably because they don't fail.
Maybe. I hope so. Well, the pit droids...
I feel like the pit droids are, like, they're very much, like, you can just destroy them, it doesn't matter.
Because, like... that one does get whipped through the turbine on the pod racer and comes out the other end, like, cackling.
Yeah.
Like an adrenaline junkie looking for a fix.
Oh, wow. Okay, Pete Holmes. Okay. I was just thinking that maybe only the higher-end droids...
Only the ones that we send into danger.
No, I mean, like, the ones who, like, have multiple languages and, like...
Right.
Know how to actually like do stuff who are basically they have personalities, they're people.
Yeah, but I also
those are the ones that have pain, the ones that are truly disposable, don't feel anything.
I also thought it was funny that this is the first time we've seen 000 have like a code, like a,
yeah,
like a Dexter type code where he was like, no, not droids. I did also love when they first get there and he's like, come BT, we have to accomplish our mission. No, you can't just murder and shoot everyone. Besides, I brought all my poisons.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, well, shit. All your poisons? Okay.
I need a 000 origin story. Like, I need to see everything. And I know...
No, go ahead. Sorry.
And I know that I'm always like, no, don't show me everything. It makes the characters better when we don't know. But I want to see him... turn from being like a nice protocol droid to a murder bot.
I had an interesting theory after I read this issue. I was thinking, what if these two droids have become so popular that the C-3PO story got changed a little bit to include them, and that's why it got delayed by like 4 months.
Oh. You're so smart.
I try. It's just like, I couldn't understand what would be really the reasoning behind delaying a one issue thing by that much.
That
what if they just completely restructured the story? Like,
yeah.
How he gets his arm might be the same, or how he gets his red arm might be the same, but maybe the overall story changes and it includes these droids, which I would fucking love.
Because when they, in Force Awakens, when C-3PO is like, oh, you probably didn't recognize me because of my red arm. I was just
that
like...
That was one of my favorites.
That was so funny.
And he was like, I really need to get the new one to, like, put in.
This needs to stop happening.
And I was there being like, yeah, where was the one shot? I wanted to know beforehand. But if that's the case...
I hope that's the case.
I'm gonna be stoked.
That'll make me okay with the delay then.
Right?
Because that was really something that should have been before The Force Awakens.
Why? Because I mean, it says Journey to the Force Awakens on the top?
And unless they change the cover that it's supposed to be is still... It still says Journey to the Force Awakens. I'm like,
yeah.
The journey's kind of been complete, bro, so...
Well, we got there. Kind of like that map that... Well, spoilers, I guess, for Force Awakens if you haven't seen it yet, so... Just in case.
Spoilers,
we don't want to get
spoilers,
beat to
spoilers,
death like
spoilers.
That person outside that one theater. Did you see that?
Wait,
no.
What?
Somebody apparently yelled out, like, the big ending.
Well,
and some guy's still in line, like, beat him and he...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Real crazy.
But also, I'm sorry.
Bad,
you're
but
fucking
don't
asking
do
for
that.
It.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, you're kind of asking for it.
I would
hate
agree
saying
with
that.
You if he didn't die. Like
he died?
He died.
Oh my god.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Okay, that's
horrible.
Not, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's still just
like
a movie.
Like,
right.
They like punched him in the stomach a few times
like,
and he was okay.
Really like to the yeah, it was bad.
Okay, but also don't be that stupid. Do you not go on the internet? All over the internet for weeks now it's been like don't spoil it, anybody. Don't spoil it for anybody. Don't spoil it for anybody. There's the whole Liam Neeson where he's like, I will find you.
Right.
And I will kill you. Like, don't do that.
But
if you do that, you know that someone minimum is going to come punch you in the face.
Right.
Minimum.
Circling back to our issue, though.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Guys, someone died over Star Wars.
Whew.
The last part I think we should address for the issue was really interesting. Darth Vader basically delivers the last piece of Alderaan.
Ooh, yes. Chills. Oh my God.
Chills. A reminder that the Emperor can be a good friend and a powerful enemy.
Oh my God.
And when she's holding it, she's like, huh? And then he says Alderaan, and she's like, oh, and she drops it. I was just like, oh.
That whole scene was insane. Well, first, before we get into that, I also loved 000 just being like, oh, you seem very stressed out. Perhaps a beverage.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not the time for drinks. But they relax you. And then he spills it. And he's like, yes, BT, do that. After all.
He's like, I was trying to be subtle, but.
He's like, these, what he said, these, like, these fleshy ones or something. And I was like, oh.
Fleshy ones are so tough. And then I love when he commends BB-8. He commends BT. And he's like, you're so professional. You hit them all right in the heart. Oh, no, a horrible accident. Mass heart attacks. Well, it's not a lie, BT. You did hit them in the heart.
He's like, and 000's like, I would have aimed for the stomach to make them suffer a little bit more.
Oh, I know. I was just like, damn.
But then that whole last scene when Vader 1 is just like, I murdered everybody to remind you. Now you're going to be a... he has that awesome line, too, where he's like, as a princess, you serve your father. As a queen, you serve your people. But don't forget whom you serve.
Yeah, that was...
And then he takes the crown off and just puts it on her head and drops the rock. And you're like,
oh my gosh.
That was awesome. Like, that was...
But at the same time, he could have, like, maimed her to remind her, too, and he didn't.
He did. He cut off her hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, maim. Like, cut off a whole arm. Just a hand.
I still think that's considered maiming, right?
It was like the elbow. That's maiming.
Was it the elbow? I thought it was just the wrist.
No, there's the whole, like...
Oh, man. Yeah, never mind.
Regardless, he cut off an appendage of hers.
Yes.
That's definitely going to be a reminder to her.
Also, what is up with all the hand cutting off? Why is it always hands?
Apparently, it's just a thing.
They dig it. They
like,
really, really
dig
it.
In the Star Wars universe, how many people have lost, like, hands?
Almost everybody.
Yeah.
Like...
You know what would have been even crazier is if he had given her his old robot hand from when he was, like, the first Anakin one. If he was, like, a reminder and Alderaan.
I want your gross old hand.
This looks like it was from the clone era. Never mind. Give that to me. You can't know who I am. Then he just waddles off with his old robot hand.
Yeah, the last piece of Alderaan thing, though, that blew my mind.
I wonder if that'll ever get to Leia. That was something I thought about because the whole time she was like, they want to rebel, they want to join the rebels, and he was like, you can do that if you want, but I will kill you. And I was like, I wonder if she'll go to Leia and be like, I have something, or if she'll end up being like the Empire and Leia will come and she'll be like, guess what I have, this is your home, remember your loved ones, and then she just throws it in the trash.
Look, I get your home right here. Like, I'm holding a piece of your home.
The last there piece you of go. Your home. All that remains of Alderaan.
Oh, God.
What a great... I also just liked the idea that after they blew it up, the Emperor or Vader was like, someone find me a rock. This may come in handy one day. Like, they're just so maniacal that they were like, don't fly away yet.
Let's let's save a few pieces of Alderaan to remind people of death.
Right.
What the fuck?
Send it to all the senators. Oh. Just pieces of it. Everyone gets presents.
Ooh, a present. What's this? Holy shit. Oh my God. Right.
And a picture of a citizen from Alderaan is like in the card.
Oh my God. It's like when you like... When you, like, give money to a child and they send you, like, a picture of the kid and, like, pictures that they drew.
Yes.
But it's the opposite.
Oh, man. Well, that was a grim note. Anything else you guys want to add before we take our quick break?
Nope.
Awesome.
This is our mini journey into The Force Awakens.
Yes, we'll be right back and we'll get real into The Force Awakens. So, spoilers if you haven't seen it yet. They are coming.
Spoilers, 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 spoilers.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Star Wars Book Club podcast. We're going to get into some Force Awakens, but first, really quickly, it turns out that the story of the guy getting beat to death for spoiling it was a fake website and a fake story, so apologies all around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a real website, but a fake Huffington Post spelled with only one F instead of two.
And that's what I get for listening to my roommate and not looking at
good
it
job,
myself.
John.
Yeah, shout out, John. Way to tell Blake wrong information, bro.
All right. Anyways, guys, The Force Awakens came out.
What?
Yeah. Real quiet release. I think it's going to get third place to Sisters and Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Rightfully so.
I would stop making those jokes, but it's so funny.
Like, I still keep feeling like it didn't happen. Like, is this real life? Like, I feel like that kid in that old YouTube video, remember the kid in the back of the car who was, like, on drugs from the dentist? Do you remember that one? Where he was like, is this real life? That's how I felt for the last 2 days. I've been like, is this real life? Did it happen? Did I watch that movie? I feel like I've been waiting for so long.
That's why I have to go see it again, because I feel like I was in such like a crazy like haze for the entire time I was watching it.
Yeah.
I did catch myself with that every now and then. I was just like, oh my God, I'm watching Star Wars.
Right?
It's happening. The text came up, and those idiots in front of the theater were taking pictures of themselves in their seats with the flash on.
I would have been so mad.
What?
It was like right before the movie started, so like during the trailers, but they kept getting up and getting in front of the screen and taking pictures, and the flash was on.
Really? I would have
and
been
I was
like,
why didn't I buy a bag of rocks to throw at them?
I would have been like, hey, respect everybody and sit down.
I didn't feel really bad. The theater where we were in, this guy all dressed up, like three big lightsabers with him, comes up and he's like, what seat number is this? And I was like, oh, you know, it's seat 10. And he was like, okay, I'm 12. And I was like, well, that's going to be yours, two away from here. And he sits down, but our row was G, and he said 212. And I didn't really pick up on that. Like, I heard it, but I was like, whatever, whatever. And my girlfriend was like, I think he might be in the wrong theater. And I was like, I think he's okay. And then, like, on the last trailer, people came in and were like, you're in our spot. And he was like, oh. And then he got up and, like, stood in the theater and, like, looked at his ticket. And all of a sudden, you just hear him go, fuck. And like he bolted out. I was like, oh no, he's in the wrong place.
Oh, poor guy.
No. Then I was like, but man, how did a guy who's dressed up with lightsabers not pay good enough attention?
Yeah.
I was worried for the longest time that we were in the wrong seats because I didn't check what row it was. I just counted A, B, C, D and then was like, this is row G.
I like triple checked the time on my tickets like 4 times and where we were seating. Like I was like, oh my God, I can't.
This has to be correct.
They kept being like, Harley, we shouldn't go in the theater yet. Like, it's not time. I'm like, no, it's time.
All right. Well, let's dive into the actual movie itself. I'm going to kick it off. Who is your favorite new character?
Rey.
Tyler and I have answered this on our other podcast, so we'll mostly ask.
Oh, okay. I mean,
you can
Rey,
repeat as much as you'd like, Tyler.
Rey, and obviously I loved Poe Dameron. Damn. But I'm sorry. How could you not watch that movie and completely fall in love with her?
I certainly did.
She was so perfect. Like, she was a phenomenal actress. She was adorable. I love the beginning where she's, like, eating, and, like, she's, like, eating really fast and, like, chewing, and then she puts on the helmet, she's, like, looking around. Oh, my God, she was so cute. I was like,
she's us. Yeah. That's how I felt when she did that. I was like, she's us. She's putting on her rebel outfit and pretending to be a pilot.
I also felt like it was a nice little, like, homage to that scene in A New Hope where Luke is playing with the...
Yeah.
What, the T-16, yeah.
Yeah. But she just was, she was so, I don't know, like, I wanted to, like, hug her. I was just like, you're so cute. But then she was also so fierce at the same time. Like, the part where she, like, beat the shit out of two dudes with her staff.
Just rocked
him. Finn's like, I'm gonna go help her. And then she just, like, is like, takes care of herself. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I literally thought that she was just... so
stop
well developed.
Taking my hand.
Yes, stop taking my hand. I can run better without you holding my hand. And he's like, do you have a pilot? Yeah, me. And he's like, what? She just was such a great character. She was a strong female character. She wasn't necessarily physically intimidating, which I was fine with.
Oh no, that staff looked like it was pretty hard.
Yeah, but like she was intimidating.
Yeah.
It's like you look at her, she's so pretty, she's so cute, and she's like this skinny little thing, and then she beats the crap out of you, and then she can climb on everything. Climbers are strong. Like,
guys, I just
climbers
thought of
are
something.
Strong.
What if, since she's really good with the staff, she gets a double-edged lightsaber?
Oh, everyone's been... You haven't heard people talk about that?
No.
Oh, I've had, like, 6 people be like, I think she's gonna build a double-edged lightsaber because she's so good with the staff. Yeah.
Now I feel less surprised.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's been saying that. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that overall, like, all the characters were just really well cast. It was really well acted. I fell in love with Poe after he said one sentence. I was just like, oh my God, right away.
Just him on the planet with BB-8 and what's his face.
Yeah, he just said that one sentence, his first sentence with that smirk, and I was just like,
And what's his face? Who are you talking about?
The first guy, the older gentleman pilot.
Right, okay.
Well, I looked him up because I was curious.
It was supposed...
I don't know who he's supposed to be. I looked it up on Wikipedia.
I imagine that he was supposed... Because they offered a role to Wedge Antilles' actor, whose name I'm blanking on.
Yeah, and he said no.
And he said no. I imagine that that's what that was supposed to be.
Yeah, probably. But he, as far as I know, at least according to Wikipedia, all the information they gave about him is that he is part of basically, like, the Jedi religion.
Yeah.
That believes in the Force that started fading out, and he still was, like, a member of that religion. But that's all they've said. That's literally all it says.
Well, I'm sure he'll get a comic soon.
I hope so. I want to know who he was, because obviously him and Poe knew each other well.
Well, he also mentions Leia being royalty.
Yeah.
And he's, like, General Organa.
Yeah, she's a princess to me, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh.
I like that. I liked that they upgraded her to general, but they didn't, like, leave out the roots. Like, I really, when they made that announcement, was like, oh, we're not even gonna... It's just like, nope, no more princess. New time. But I like that so many people were like, well, you're part of this family.
Yeah.
Even outside of... And I remember somebody, it might have even been on this podcast we're talking about, where we're like, well, there's no royal family of Alderaan anymore. And I was like, but she's the royal family of Naboo.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever get into that.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, my favorite, I said it on our other podcast, Hollywood Already Did It, is Poe by Leaps and Bounds. To me, he was the most, he echoed the tone of the old movies the most.
For sure,
The snark, the suave charisma, the like never really being intimidated or backing down. Like I was talking to somebody and they were like, man, I wish he had been snarky to Kylo Ren. It sort of like undercut him as a villain. And I was like, I disagree. I think part of what makes Kylo Ren so good is that he's so insecure about himself. And Poe doing that, it makes that even better.
I had someone complain. They're like, oh, like, they're like, I didn't like it, like, really at all. And I was just like, at all? Like, nothing, you didn't really like anything in it? And he was like, no, just way too much fan service. And, and he was like, and also all the good characters weren't in it for very long. And I was like, what? And he was like, Poe wasn't in it enough. Like, I wanted more of Poe. And I was like, okay, A, we all want more of Poe, just in general. I was like, but I think this movie was also about us meeting new characters and falling in love with new characters.
Well, it,
and you fall in love with Poe in 5 seconds.
It did exactly like, what A New Hope did, which
yeah.
made you want an expanded universe.
You want the next
like,
one.
Not even the next one. Like, I want, like... a prequel book about Kylo Ren. I want a comic
yeah.
book about Poe Dameron. I want, like, I want to read the, like, expanded books that go into detail about the armor and the training of the Imperials and why Hoth was this way and all that stuff we got from the original trilogy. I walked into that movie and I was like, I want that. And I think it's really hard for people to remember not having all of that information. But, like, you walked out of A New Hope and you wanted to know everything about that world. You wanted to
uh-huh.
know what the Clone Wars was. You wanted
yeah.
to know more about the Jedi. You wanted to know more about Obi-Wan. You wanted to know why was Greedo attacking Han? Like, there was so much you didn't know that they let you build yourself. And this did the
mm-hmm.
same thing. Like,
yeah, I think, though, with A New Hope, because he didn't know if he was going to make any more films, The New Hope was a little bit more self-contained than this one.
And that's actually something that I wish this one had done a little bit more.
I'm not, because that's the thing, is that the only reason that he made A New Hope that way was because he wasn't sure.
Yeah.
We know for sure we're getting 2 more movies. No matter what, we're getting 2 more movies. I like having loose ends because it makes me excited, it makes me think about it, and it makes
yeah.
me want to know more. If you just give everybody exactly what they want in a film and tie up all the ends, then why are you gonna, like, you'll
well,
go see the next one because it's Star Wars, but, like, what's the point of doing a trilogy if you're gonna have the first one answer everything for you?
Exactly, and that's why I don't understand how anyone can argue that the reason they don't like it is because it's too fan service. See, one, that doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
Like, what does that actually mean? Like, if you don't like the movie, that's totally cool. Like, It's not for every single person. Not every single Star Wars fan is going to love it as much as another Star Wars fan. But what does too much fan service actually even mean?
It's like,
this movie
yeah.
was made because there are so many fans out there that want to see it. If there weren't fans, this movie wouldn't have been made. So how can... That's not an argument. That's an argument as to why the movie was made, not as to why... I just don't consider that a compelling argument as to why you didn't like it.
Well, mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. is fan service. Like, every movie that gets made is trying to... Because here's the thing. It's when people say things like that, I'm like, well, you know what? You can't win. You can't win.
Well, because you never can.
If, let's use Batman Superman as the example. If that movie, from what we've seen, it's obviously not out yet, but right now a lot of the big complaints is too many characters, it's not the Batman I know, it's not my Superman, he snaps the neck, why does Batman have a gun, yada, 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 yada. They want new people. It's a new generation, it's mm-hmm. a new blah, 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 it's a new universe of it. But also, if they were too fan service-y, if it was whatever, you know, however you interpret that, but if it was like beat for beat The Dark Knight Returns and beat for beat Doom and beat for beat The Justice League, people would be going like, well, I've seen this already. They're yeah. not doing anything new with it. So when people are like, it's too much fan service, I'm like, you're the kind of person that I can't win. You're the one that yeah. you can't get won over. Because if it's too much new stuff, you get mad. And if it's too much old stuff, you get mad. So what do you want?
See, for me, the important thing for me in this movie is that I was like, okay, I want to go and I want to see a good Star Wars story that feels like Star Wars to me, that looks like Star Wars. I want to meet these new characters, and the characters that I already know, I want to see them, and I want them to feel like they are the same characters.
Right.
Like, this is legitimately them 30 years later. Those are really the only things. So I was like, if we have all these things, I'm going to love it. I'm going to yeah. enjoy it. And yes, of course, I could go through and I could pick it and be like, yeah, I mean, it would have been great if it was like this, or I wanted it to be like this, and it could have been like this. Okay, yes. But I'd rather just enjoy it. And guess what? It told a great, compelling story that we want to see more of and we want to learn more of. We right. met amazing characters. All of the new characters, I was like, tell me more. And having Leia and Han, and even when we got to see Luke for a little bit at the end, it felt like I was seeing them for like 30. It felt 30 years later. They felt the same. And I loved that. Leia was in it more than I thought she was going to be.
I want more Luke. I want all the Luke.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I liked that he was only in the last, like, 30 seconds of the film. I liked that.
See, I didn't. I really wanted more Luke. I get why it was that way, but I kind of wish... I mean, I guess the way the story was set up, it wouldn't exactly have made sense, but I kind of wish Luke... Finding Luke came before blowing up the...
Starkiller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have made sense the way the story was laid out, but I kind of wish those two events had been flipped so we could have gotten at least a few moments with
yeah.
Luke.
Yeah, well, I thought that really, he was going to be in it more.
I also really wanted him, like, Han dies, and I think I said
spoilers.
This on our... Right. Right.
And we said this, spoilers already.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
I said this on our other show, so I'm sorry if you are listening to both and I'm repeating myself, but, like, they didn't really have too many moments where, like, the characters felt that. Like, I kind of wanted Chewie and Leia to have a moment. Like, you see it quickly where Leia, like, feels it happen and Chewie freaks out, but there was never, like, a... Like, everyone kind of takes it in or, like, says something. And I was really hoping that, like, that inciting incident was going to be what, like, kind of brought Luke back. Like, I was kind of hoping that Rey was going to get there, find him, and him be like, I'm not going back, and her be like, we need you, we lost Han, and that be the thing where he's like, what? And he's like, Kylo Ren got him, and that be the thing that gets Luke to be like, okay.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen the next one.
Yeah, I was thinking, I wonder, and if also, that's probably how 8's going to open, or, I mean, yeah. something of that regard.
Because Luke knows.
Right.
By the look, can I just say, fuck yeah, Mark Hamill, just his expression for that, like, 20 seconds we see
it
his face.
It was great.
Was so good. He's so conflicted. And I looked at his face and I was like, okay, he knows who she is. Whoever she is, he knows. He also knows that Han is dead. Like, he knows that.
Yep.
That's
why he's up there on the mountain already. Like, he knows that someone's coming to find him because he knows what happened. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But also, Luke was the huge centerpiece for all the original trilogy. This movie was about finding him and meeting those characters again, but this movie was about Han. This a lot of yeah. this movie was about Han. This was a Han movie because
Well, it's the goodbye.
It's the goodbye movie. We got all of the Han that we're ever going to get in this movie. If we had diluted it by putting more of Luke in, I don't think that I would have liked it as much. Also, I think it was great that he was the beat at the end, and he's going to be in the next two films,
well,
and
so
is Leia.
Well, that was the thing Kathleen Kennedy has said 100 times, where she's like, the I can't remember what word they're using. It's anthology films for the spinoffs. I think legacy is the trilogy ones, the ones with mm-hmm. Roman numerals. I think that's the word they're using. But she was very clear that it's about the Skywalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to, it's that those, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is the saga of the Skywalker family.
That's what it's always been.
And I was, and that made me really happy when she said that. And I was like, well, whether that means Rey turns out to be Luke's kid, or whether that means that, like, Ben Solo is still a part of that Skywalker family, or that means Luke's going to have a bigger part in 8 and 9, I like that.
Yeah.
And then 10, 11, and 12 are all about the Calrissian family.
Yay! Oh, guy. Well, that was the other thing I
was waiting
somebody,
for Lando to pop up.
He's going to have to show up in 8 because
he's
Han's
gotta.
Gone. Like, he's got to come and say his goodbyes.
I think he will.
He still looks good.
Yeah. Hunger Games movies, dude looks like a rock star.
He still looks good.
But
who's in Hunger Games?
He's the...
Yeah.
Billy Dee Williams is the... he helps her out, and then he ends up in the wheelchair.
Is this only the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's the last one.
Okay. I think it's Billy Dee Williams. It's definitely Billy Dee Williams. I can't remember the guy's name.
I don't know the Hunger Games movies
that well, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I read the books, and then I heard that movie wasn't great. I just haven't seen it yet.
I thought the last one was good, but that's not the point.
Yeah, he's not in
really?
Hunger Games.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
But so do we think that Rey is related to them?
I do.
Because I have theories on both sides.
I do. I don't know who else it would be.
Because I know...
And it's a very Skywalker thing to leave a kid on a desert planet.
Because I know that when George Lucas started writing Episode 7 years and years and years ago, I know that he did bring in the Rey character. She was his idea. And she was supposed to be a continuation of when Yoda said there is another. We all thought it was Leia because in Jedi we're like, oh, she becomes a sister, but she got written as his sister in like when they were rewriting Episode 6. So Rey is supposed to be this version of there is another. She is supposed to be that there is another character. But when George wrote it, he didn't have her as a Skywalker. He just had her as kind of like how you find Anakin, where Anakin's just there and his mom is just like, yup.
The Force made her.
His dad, whatever. He's a baby of just the Force. Like,
right.
I just got pregnant one day with the Force.
Midichlorians did their thing.
And so that was supposed to be, it's kind of, she's the same origin where she just came to be and had this, like,
yeah.
She wasn't necessarily a child of Skywalker. But the thing is that all of these films are, again, about the Skywalker family. So I'm thinking that she probably is Luke's daughter, especially because she touches his lightsaber and, like, gets the visions.
Right.
And, like, Maz is like, take it.
It's calling to you.
Yes.
I love her. I want so much more Maz.
Oh, my God. I love her so much.
So that's...
oh, my God.
Let me ask this, then, since we're about the expanded universe and whatnot. What would you want to see them expand on, whether it's before Force Awakens or more story of the character? Like, what's
the Knights of Ren? Like, I want to know who they are. I want more on
me
that
too.
I mean, I'm sure that's coming in the next films, but I'd love it if they gave us like a little bit more in the comics. I want to know Maz's, like, I want a whole like one shot about her.
Well, what I love
shit,
about
she's 1,000 years old. I want a whole mini series,
right?
Yeah,
I want like
five, like,
there's
issues.
A lot to tell with her. You know, based on how long she says she's been. Because
I want to know how she got that lightsaber. I want a story telling me that.
Yeah, you could do. I mean, you could do a novel on her that just literally could be like the dawn of the Force to now. Like, she's seen everything, and it sounds like she has an eidetic memory.
Also, is she the same? Like, she looked kind of like Supreme Leader Snoke. Are they the same?
Oh, I didn't
like,
catch that. No,
race?
I don't. They might be.
I don't think so. I don't think they look that much alike.
I mean, they both have round bulbous heads. It would play to our theory that Snoke's going to end up being real short, though.
Yeah, because that's what I think. Someone's like, no, I hope he's at least human height. I'm like, nah, like, I feel like that's the reason they projected him as
gigantic
right. is because he's small. I feel like he's going to be the same race as her. Like, I even thought about this the other day, and I was like, okay, if he's the same race as Maz, which could be a possibility.
Right.
Because there was no really color for him either, because he was a projection.
Yeah, we saw the hologram.
He's little like that. What if, because, I mean, how many years was Yoda teaching?
800 years.
What if he was a student of Yoda's? Or vice versa?
Well, that was the big theory for a while, that he was going to turn out to be Plagueis, or that he was going to turn out to be, like, an old Sith Lord.
Yeah.
I don't think he's definitely not going to be Plagueis, because Palpatine killed him.
Yeah.
That's sort of the point. But somebody else, my boss at work, theorized that he's found out how to do the everlasting life through the Force, and that he's been around forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that would be fun. And if Maz is just, I don't know, doing a lot of Pilates and only eating green foods to stay alive for 1,000 years, then...
So
they're the same race and they just live that long.
So according to Wikipedia, Snoke is actually 7 feet tall. And he's projected around 25 feet.
Aww.
Oh.
7 feet tall and very thin and frail.
Well, that, nice. Mm. That makes me excited, actually, that he's thin and frail.
Obviously, things could change, that's
what I got. The sources we have.
So that's, I really didn't think that he and Maz Kanata were the same race.
Yeah. Oh, Maz.
Also, I thought the only part that kind of took me, I don't think his CGI was very good.
Snoke? Yeah. I thought it was fine.
I thought it was good. I just think it, I mean, it was a projection. I think it was meant to look like that. I think,
okay. I think the test
is going to be when we actually see him in his 7 foot tall, his actual form.
I did think that a lot of this when you do see it, since everything else is so practical, it even Maz really stuck out.
I thought she looked real good.
Yeah, she looked really good.
I thought she was the best of the CGI.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But, those big monsters that Han is smuggling, I was like, oh, wow, that was... Everything else has been so tangible and physical, and that was kind of just one of those ones where I was like, oh, wow, that's a lot of CG.
See, you put more stock in that than I did, because I think they did it... I think it's gonna age pretty well when you see it in a few years. Yeah. Well, for one, because it was mostly in the dark. They were in dark corridors, and it was the monster was moving really fast. I don't think it didn't stick out at all, actually.
For me, it was only Snoke that really stuck out for me. Everybody else was great.
I'm not saying it looked bad. I noticed it.
Yeah, everybody else was great.
But
I was scared that he was gonna be a giant.
I was kind of into it for a minute.
That's because you're a Marvel kid. You're Marvel Universe, giants.
I just liked the idea. I was like, we've never seen somebody have to fight something huge before.
I mean, also, 7 feet is still pretty damn tall.
Yeah, 7 feet is really tall.
Well, it also plays into the...
But that's how tall Vader is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also plays into the I don't know if I talked about it on this podcast, but the theory I had about Kylo Ren's lightsaber being the crossblade... Mm-hmm. was to parry somebody 7 feet tall. Like, if he has a regular lightsaber, he gives him that edge of defense, and he can kind of hook.
Yeah.
Because, Snoke's reach is going to be huge.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to just keep you this far, but if you can, get in... It's like judo. You get into the long reach by using their arm to get to the shoulder blade to lock them in. So I was like, oh, maybe that's why he's built that hook, because he knows... Eventually, his final test is going to be taking out Snoke.
See, I still think the cross guard is his crutch. I think, as we talked about it yesterday on our other podcast, he can't even beat Finn without using that cross guard to burn his arm and get the upper hand. Finn is not good with a lightsaber, but Kylo Ren is still struggling against him until he's able to use that crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because as we know, Kylo Ren is still a lot of, he's been trained, but he hasn't been trained a lot.
Right.
Right.
Because at the end, Snoke's like, you have to come to me for your final leg of training. And you're like, oh crap, he's in charge of all this, but he's not trained.
He's a blunt object. He's just going off on pure.
Yeah. His
talent.
His strength is his talent. And also obviously anger, but anger, as we know, isn't something you can control, and it often blinds you.
Well, that was one of the things that I've brought up a few times, where I'm like, all the other Sith Lords, Anakin and even Luke, not that he's a Sith Lord, but it comes from fear, and it's controlling your fear.
Yeah.
And Kylo Ren is anger and jealousy.
Yeah.
And that's a different thing. And we see that when he just destroys parts, like whenever he gets angry, he just whips out his lightsaber and just cuts down whatever wall is in front of him. Like, he doesn't have any, he has no control over himself.
Yeah, which is why, like, I had someone who said that they didn't think it was plausible that both Finn and Rey lasted as long as they did in the fight against Kylo Ren. And I was like, why? And they're like, well, he's, like, so much bigger and taller and stronger.
Also got shot in the gut.
Yeah. And like, he was like, I don't believe that he could stop a blast ray at the beginning and then not beat these two untrained people.
The Force and lightsaber fighting are two different disciplines.
Yep.
Yes. They're two different disciplines. Also, yeah, he was like bleeding out.
Yeah.
He also had just killed his father, and he was obviously still feeling conflicted on it, because the whole movie he was being conflicted between the dark and light. You could see the best, oh my gosh, one of the best moments was when he kills Han, and Han touches his face, and you see Adam Driver's acting, fuck yeah.
He was so good.
You see that flicker in his face of, did I just fuck up? Was this the wrong thing to do? But then no.
He had the same beat Anakin had when it's the one time when Hayden Christensen's acting, I think, is great, is when he hacks off Windu's arm and immediately he's just like,
yeah.
Oh, like he just has that like panic. Mm-hmm. And even when he like kneels, like he barely even kneels to Palpatine. He falls down onto his knees.
Yeah.
And Palpatine's like, now pledge yourself. And he's like, I give myself to your teachings. Like, but he sounds so like
defeated.
Yeah, broken. And I loved that they kind of called that back after he kills Han, when he's like, it's all in his face, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he just carries it there.
Yeah, but by the time he's fighting Finn and Rey, like, he knows that he's scared of her because she's really strong in the Force. Stronger than him a little bit, and he's never encountered someone like that. He hasn't been fully trained in lightsaber battling, obviously. He's
jealous of her because Han was the father figure to her, and she has the lightsaber.
Yeah, he's jealous, yeah, because he's like, that's my weapon.
That weapon belongs to me.
He's bleeding out, and he's conflicted, and he's pissed. Like, all of those things are going to make him weaker.
Well, it's frankly the same thing, like, Anakin should have been able to fight Dooku, but he just sprints at him, and Dooku's like, nope, and just lightnings him away.
Yeah, and
like, if you're not using control, you're going to get whooped.
And also, Rey may be thin, but like, she's shown that she could beat the shit out of two dudes. Like,
well, and she also, like, our other co-host Terrence brought up in the movie one, she uses it like her staff. There's a lot of like fencing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you're fencing against somebody who fights with a broadsword with big broad attacks and you're keeping them away, like, it's the same thing when I did martial arts. I'm a skinny guy, so all of my instructors were like, use your legs. You can keep them 6 feet away from you and still hit them, and then they're not going to get in and overpower you.
Yeah.
And that's what she did. She kept him away.
Because she kept running away. I was like, no, she kept running away.
Yeah.
For no reason.
She kept her distance from him because he has to get in close, and she's smart. Like, we see that she just understands mechanics.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, if I can keep you over here, I can at least buy time.
Yeah. Because I was just like, and also,
plus, it's the same thing. He doesn't want to kill her.
Yeah, he doesn't want to kill
her to be the apprentice.
I loved that part where he was like, you need training, I can train you. Because it's a thing, too. It's like, he didn't want to kill her. He wasn't trying to murder her. Like, he was trying to maybe maim her a little bit, but he was trying to get her to
turn,
give in to him, to be like, hey, I'll train you. Because I love that part when he's there going, you need training, I'll train you. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, shit. I was like, he likes her. Like,
he gets real creepy with her when she's locked up, too. And he's like, it's okay, I feel it too. And you're like, oh, he's going to have some sort of... I totally read that as him having some sort of attraction to her. Like, that whole scene where he has her locked up and he's, like, interrogating her and she's fighting it. Like, I can't remember what the other beat is, but he gets real close to her face.
Yeah.
And then she kind of, like, rejects it and he moves away and he's like, it's okay, I feel it too. And then leaves. And I was like, oh, this is going to get... this is going to get complicated, because she's probably going to get into Finn, and he's just going to get mad, and then Luke's going to show up, and he's going to get madder, and then Snoke's probably going to snap his neck for some reason.
Wow.
I wouldn't mind that if Kylo Ren turns to help Luke and Snoke just smokes him. Like, if he's like, I'll help you, and he runs against to fight him, and Snoke's just like, and drops him. Because I hope Snoke is just, like, a beast.
A beast. Yeah, it... I know, but I loved... I really liked their lightsaber battle.
All right.
I dug it.
Is there anything else you guys want to mention?
BB-8 was awesome.
Oh my god! BB-8 talking to R2! Oh my god.
Made me so happy.
I thought about you the whole time. I was like, oh my god, Tyler's so stoked right now.
He's so good.
Because BB-8 could have been and talked to R2 when R2 was, like, not there. And he was like, what's happening? I'm so confused. Hi. Like,
I want to play, and you're trying to find Luke.
So cute. Also, can I just say the only thing that took me really out for a second, the only bad acting, the female X-Wing fighter. Did no one else notice?
No.
Ah, it's just me. Like, literally, at points I was just like, "Who? How did you get in this movie?"
She had two lines. Yeah, I can't even remember.
She had three little parts.
Yeah.
And she had, like, three lines.
I don't even bothered me.
Yeah.
I was just there going, what?
All right.
Because everyone else was such... Because the acting overall was so good.
Right.
So good.
Well, then I think my final question for you guys, now that Force Awakens is here, where does it rank amongst the other six for you? Do we have a new favorite? A new second favorite? Did it top Phantom Menace?
Is that even a question?
No.
I'll have to see it. Guys, I'm not gonna lie. I have to see it again because, like, I feel like I still miss things. I feel like what you said, Tyler, I was in a daze the whole time. So I was just like, oh my god. I cried as soon as it said Star Wars and the music started playing, I just started crying. And I don't cry in movies.
That's
you.
I'm gonna have to see it again, but right now I'm thinking it's my new third favorite behind Empire and A New Hope. Empire, A New Hope, Force, Jedi, Revenge, and then whatever.
And then who cares?
Who cares? Phantom and then Attack, because Attack is just not a good movie. Sorry to those who like the prequels. That's totally okay, but I can't stand Attack.
Yeah, I think... For me, it's in between both of the trilogies.
Okay,
that's where I'm at. It's right in the middle.
I feel like I'm about there too. I don't know. I have to watch it again. Like, I gotta go see it again.
I was just going off my gut. Like, I loved the movie, don't get me wrong, but it was missing, like, the little bits that I love in the original trilogy, like the parts where it slows down and kind of gets into, like, the Force and the philosophy and the, like, real deep, like, Yoda moments and Obi-Wan moments. And I was like, that's the one thing that I wanted, and he almost did it, like with Kylo Ren and Vader, and even with Han being like, it's true, like it was there, but since it was like a Han movie and introducing the characters, they never had. Also, there's nobody to really teach, like they don't have the teacher mentor figure yet.
Yeah.
So they don't have that moment, and that was like the one thing that I was like, I want it, and especially since they were like, he's a religious acolyte, and there's Knights of Ren. I was like, oh, they're gonna have all of that, but. Maybe we'll get a nice little 5-issue The Knights of Ren miniseries.
That'd be so awesome. Also, I like that his name is Ben.
Yeah, Ben Solo. Kylo Ren. All right. Is that not an anagram? No, it's not. The B is not even in that name.
Mm-mm.
I tried. I was like Ren, Ben, Kylo, Solo. It's similar name structure, I guess. All right. Well, I think that'll do us for this episode. Everybody, if you haven't yet, you should go see The Force Awakens and you should go read the Darth Vader Annual. You should also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheStarWarsBookClubPodcast and on Twitter at @SWBookClub and on Instagram at Modern Nostalgia, our Instagram account for all of our podcasts, which you can listen to as well, Two Player Split Screen, the video game one, and Hollywood Already Did It, where we talk movie reboots, sequels, and see if it stacks up to the original. You can find me on Twitter at QuakeBorder55. You can find Harley at...
Miss Harley R on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, all that nonsense.
And you can find Tyler at?
The Tie Game on Twitter, and check out my other website, 51yardline.com, if you're into sports stuff.
All right, guys. I think we're going to go see The Force Awakens again, so we'll see y'all. Oh, and
is this
happy
our
holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't get a chance to do another one, I'd like to try to squeeze a special holiday episode in. I don't know if we will, because I will be in Chicago. So if we do not, happy holidays, and we will see you on the other side.
Oh, yeah, and just so you guys know, we definitely already exchanged Christmas presents, all Star Wars related, except for Blake. Because Blake didn't get me and Tyler anything.
Damn, I wasn't going to call the dude out.
Jesus.
I'm just kidding, we like Blake. He can stay.
Happy holidays, guys.